Welcome to Gadgets, a podcast from Gizmodo where we woman-splain technology. I'm your host, Caitlin McGarry, Senior Consumer Tech Editor at Gizmodo, and I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Gizmodo reporter Florence Ion. Hello, Flo.
Hi, I'm waving frantically.
Thank you. Thank you for joining me today. Flo, today we sit here in the real world. We're chatting over Zoom from across the state of California. Mm-hmm. But in the future, or at least the future according to Mark Zuckerberg, our little avatars will be podcasting together in the metaverse, surrounded by NFTs, I think. Are you excited?
Mark has been making a lot of decisions for us. He made decisions for us in college, right? Because we came of age when Facebook started as, you know, the place to go to find honeys. And
wow,
now,
again, you are dating us. Why do
really
you always
badly.
Have to reference our college
I go
days?
With the really bad ones too, right? Like the extremely dated stuff. But yeah, so Facebook then, and now it's turning into the metaverse.
Yes. Okay, so before we dive too deeply into the metaverse, because
we'll never get out.
We may never emerge. So we want to thank everyone who has liked and subscribed to us so far. We really appreciate you checking out our pilot episode. And if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts and you like what you hear, please consider leaving us a rating and a review because it helps so much and it helps other people find us. So thank you.
It's true.
So each week, we chat with our fellow Gizmodo reporters to talk about the biggest headlines in technology. And this week, I'm really excited, our guest is Shoshana Wodinski, who covers the business of data for Gizmodo. And she's going to be talking to us about the Facebook papers, which have been inescapable.
That's like, for sure.
Everywhere.
Especially at Gizmodo, where,
Yes. So Gizmodo is actually part of a consortium of news outlets who have access to the Facebook papers. So as they're being released, we get them, we go through them, and we figure out what exactly the news is. And we bring that to you. And Shosh is a part of that effort, and she's going to tell us everything that we've learned about Facebook from those leaked documents.
Which has been a lot.
It's a lot. So it's basically what everyone is talking about. And weirdly enough, Facebook just changed its name. Just as everyone was talking about Facebook papers, it's no longer Facebook. Isn't that super weird?
Very weird.
I don't know.
It's no longer the Facebook.
Is it related? Who's to tell? So Facebook changed its name to Meta. You know, I might also change my name if it was suddenly all over the news for extremely bad things. You know. No
you know,
judgment.
I have another name, by the way, that when things go awry, I'm going to change it to, which I guess is not helping me now by letting you all know. The name is Francine. So if you see a Francine Bionic, that means I'm in the witness protection program.
Francine
you should ask
Bionic.
Me if I need help.
It's like just close enough to Florence Ion that it's not a completely different person. Where did that come from? Francine
was the name that I called myself when I was a kid. It was my fake sister.
Okay.
Yeah. Listen, we don't have to go that deep into it, but
I think we're going to come back to this later.
Eventually we will.
I have so many questions. This might be an entire episode all on its own.
We're talking about the metaverse, so
we are.
It's meta.
In the metaverse, you can absolutely be Francine Bionic, your little
Precisely.
Avatar. Yeah. So hopefully our listeners aren't yet tired of hearing the word metaverse because it's gonna keep coming up. We're gonna explore what life would be like if Flo, you and I were interacting as avatars in a virtual world.
We tried an Animal Crossing.
We did. We had a great time in Animal Crossing.
We did.
I loved that. I don't know if that's similar to the metaverse. I feel like it's not, but like if the metaverse ends up being as fun as Animal Crossing was in like those first 3 weeks, like sold. I'm sold on
right?
it.
Right? Right?
But I don't know because the metaverse depends on wearing a virtual reality headset. Flo, we're going to get into that in a minute. I'm not sold on it, so I want to hear your thoughts. But before we get into that, Flo, we're going to fangirl a little bit because you and I have made a pact. We fell off the exercise bandwagon for a couple months. We're going to get back on our Peloton bikes. We're doing it. And we're going to discuss why we love them so much. And yes, maybe explain why other people might want to buy them, especially now that there's been a price cut on the cheapest bike. Now might be a good time.
Mm-hmm. And you just looked at the new treadmill, so we're going to talk about that too.
I did. I just reviewed the new Peloton tread. But Flo, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the biggest gadget launch of the last few weeks.
What did I miss?
The Apple polishing cloth.
That's right.
Have you heard about the polishing cloth?
Well,
it's everywhere.
No, because I'm an Android. I'm a green bubble, so I'm not really allowed in that club. But I know there's one you can buy.
Even you can use the cloth. It's platform agnostic, one would say.
Okay.
The cloth is $19, which is kind of a lot for a single cloth. This is not like a two-pack. This is one cloth.
It's like
cloth.
A keychain you buy at the Disney store because you can't afford, you know, the bigger toys, the, you know,
right.
The bigger products.
So instead of AirPods, which are $179, you get the polishing cloth. And it feels similar, right?
Right.
Is that the goal here? I don't know. I have the polishing cloth. It was sent to me by Apple, included with an iMac that had a special screen that required the cloth. Mm. It's like a whole thing. And it's good. Like, it's a good cloth. I mean, I wouldn't say it's like the best cloth. I don't know. What's the rating scale here?
I mean, there's a difference between a good cleaning cloth and a really bummy one that they just kind of include for free in your gadget that you purchased from a dubious source.
True.
Which I have That's a bag true. Of those, and they're not the best. It's true.
I'm just saying, I bought a 3-pack of gym towels that turned out to be microfiber cloths. It was Amazon's choice for gym towels, and they're microfiber. And I will say, nothing is as uncomfortable as like wiping your sweaty face with a microfiber towel. Someone please help me. I need new gym towels. Like, this is, and I keep
just
using them.
Washcloths.
It's been months.
Just get the washcloths, the ones at Nordstrom Rack. They have the little handles on them so you can hang them from your Peloton. And they kind of air dry.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Honestly, this is why we do this podcast, so you can help me.
I am such a homebody. This is what happens. Just...
No, I need the cloth recommendations. I need to upgrade my life. Okay, we're going to take a quick break before we dive into the metaverse. So we'll be right back. So Flo, this week, as we mentioned, has been all about the metaverse, a phrase that no one was saying really until like a week ago when Facebook had this whole presentation. It was, you know, all of this CGI, this imaginary world where you put on a headset and suddenly you're going to concerts and you're going to work and you're hanging out with your friends, but like you're not actually leaving your house, but it looks super cool. But, like, it doesn't exist. This isn't a thing that exists yet. And, like, I'm not convinced that it's going to happen. I want to know what you think.
I think, okay, there's a couple of things going on here. So, first of all, when you talked about attending concerts with friends, the first thing I thought about was that Fortnite special that happened with Travis Scott. I believe he's Kylie's baby daddy. Yes. Wait.
Yes.
Travis Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. Hope
Travis
I didn't mess
Scott,
that
yes.
one up. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Kylie's baby daddy was in that virtual universe. He did it was a very cool concept. My husband really wanted to like be a part of the experience. So I joined him. It just so happened to take place during my child's nap. Perfect timing. And I bring that up because I don't know if the metaverse is for a busy person like me. I don't know that I have time to go into that virtual world. And I don't know that our working environment facilitates itself to that medium. Because you and I, like, we collaborate, you know, on our staff, but we don't need virtual whiteboards. You know, most of the stuff that we do is just like back and forth chatting to kind of get to the point where our brains need to be to get something written. At the same time, I do know a lot of work environments that would benefit from that, like virtual whiteboarding. And I fear that they're going to be the ones really pushed into this. And then that's where this whole world is really going to get built out. It's going to get built out around like the Salesforce employee who needs to be in a virtual environment with an executive and show them this thing. I don't know that it's going to translate necessarily to us plebeians who are just at home. Because I have tried with the Quest. I really have. But it sits in an ottoman at home.
You have the Meta Quest 2 is what it's now
that's
called
right.
instead of Oculus.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Correct? They changed the name.
Yeah, bringing this back to gadgets, the whole point is that you're wearing this VR headset, right? How many people own VR headsets? They're prohibitively expensive for most people. They usually are like massive. I personally do not like wearing, I've tried them all, and I don't like wearing any of them. As a woman, professional woman, you're often wearing a full face of makeup. You have your hair done. Every time I've been to a demo where they're like, here, strap on this headset, I'm like, oh my God, like I have so much going on here. This is not conducive to just putting it on and taking it off. Like it's a whole ordeal. So people aren't paying attention to that. And then, yeah, like who wants to be wearing a headset all day long, even if they got super comfortable, which I don't see that happening. Like nothing is comfortable to wear on your face for 8 hours.
I mean, kudos to everyone wearing glasses. I know it's like a bummer, but that was very 2020 vision privilege of me. I'm so sorry about that.
It really was. Some of us are like,
I'm going to get payback struggling. Once I start really the eyes going. So don't worry. I know I'm headed for that. Yeah. But mm-hmm. I'm just thinking about how sick I get. Like I will start to get a headache after 20 minutes of Beat Saber. And I love Beat Saber. I love the music on there. There's a couple other VR apps that I play on the Quest that are also just about like music rhythm, those kind of games. It's super fun for that. And it's super fun if you want to do like, if you want to fly over Arizona, you know, because you can't go and you just want to like chill out.
Just fly over Arizona. That's such a selling point.
Listen, I love the desert. That's why I watch The Sister Wives. It's all the scenic, you know, mountains and everything.
They're
and
in
so
Vegas,
you get that.
I think.
Yeah. Exactly.
No, I've seen them in real life. Yeah, I've seen The Sister Wives. Well,
trying really hard not to go down that route because we're having big news this week in that realm.
We're going to stay off The Sister Wives. Back to VR.
Yeah. What I mean to say through all that is there's just such limited use for the headset right now. It's not like the Nintendo Switch, for instance. When we're talking about gaming, my toddler cannot come with me into the virtual realm, into the metaverse. My toddler is going to interact more with what she can see and what she can touch, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be like that in our family for a while because she's just a kid.
Yeah.
The only folks I know who are enjoying like the metaverse with their families have additional headsets. But again, that is such a like gadget-centric way of being in this space. And like you were saying earlier, it's still so prohibitive to everybody else.
Yeah. And it's just freaking depressing. I mean, everyone I know is like, I hate being on my phone all the time. I hate that it dominates my life. I don't want to be in front of screens when I don't have to be. And now Mark Zuckerberg is out here like, actually, your whole life could be the screen. And it would be so much better because you'd feel like you were with other people. And it's like, I don't know. Don't you want to actually be with other people? And I feel like Facebook is obviously not thinking about like how it'll be misused because they never think about that. And like the whole reason that Facebook as a company has been successful is because their product is free. And the metaverse is not going to be free because you need a headset to join.
Yeah. They are taking away the Facebook login that you need to have to like get into the Oculus. I wonder if they're going to do that with their smart displays, which are now called the Meta portals, by the way.
Meta portals.
Yeah, it's very hard to say.
Like, the Meta, I don't even want to call it the Facebook
portal.
It's hard
to say.
Yeah, the Facebook portal, you and I just tested it. You reviewed it. It's a really good product, actually, but people don't love it because it's Facebook. And so maybe calling it the Meta portal, well, that's not going to convince people that it's not a Facebook product. Everybody knows it's Facebook.
this rebranding is really confusing. And it's not too, you know, there's a lot of really cool like tech stuff that's happening with regards to the metaverse and everything that they're figuring out around virtual reality. And so I offer kudos in that realm. But at the same time, I can't stop thinking about the examples that we were shown during that whole Facebook Connect or Meta Connect or whatever, which was it was very much around like shopping, an experience of being, you know, in a mall. They had Jackie Aina on there, who's like a very popular YouTube makeup artist. And she was talking about how she's going to sell her perfumes in the metaverse, which, by the way, metaverse doesn't have Scento Vision. So you're not going to actually be smelling anything as far as I know. It's just this case of where we're being sold, like, this is how we want you to interact with our products. Here's what we want you to use it. It's solving a problem that doesn't really exist. And I think that's why there's a lot of, I think that's why there's a lot of hesitance around this, because it's like, I don't know that I was immediately asking for that. Like, that's cool, but I'm totally fine just doing this Zoom call with you and having our podcast recording.
I'm sure your 3D avatar is going to be super cute. Like, I'm excited to see what you come up with, but it's not better than like seeing your face.
No.
And honestly, I think you're right. Like, it just seems to me that Zuckerberg is just envisioning this world where people are buying and selling fake things, digital goods, which is like a huge economy already in games and apps. But I don't want that to be our entire life. That sounds really dystopian. But maybe we're just heading there.
It's absolutely Ready Player One. It's just absolutely.
It is.
Yeah. It gives me headaches to think about, too. Also, because physically, again, I get headaches from these things. You understand all this screen time. What is the long-term effects of all of this? I know we keep citing research papers and all that, but the idea of going from this screen all day and then going into the metaverse to see my friends, I'm already getting headaches going into Instagram after, you know, we log off for the day. So there's some things here that need to be applied before we.
Yeah.
There's some things.
And I don't know that anybody trusts Facebook or Meta to be the ones to figure it out.
I mean, that's the whole reason they're doing this rebranding, right? They want us to think of it as more than, but I don't. As we're going to find out in our next little tidbit of the Facebook papers.
Yeah. So the whole reason, I mean, Zuckerberg has said that, of course, we didn't change our name because of the Facebook papers, but we're about to talk to Shosh and she's going to tell us if that's true or not. So we'll be right back after this break with Shoshana Wodinski.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We're joined today by Shoshana Wodinski. She's Gizmodo's reporter covering the business of data. Shosh, you have been diving into the Facebook papers over the last couple weeks. This is a historic leak in Silicon Valley history, and we want to know why this is so important and what are the biggest things that we've learned about Facebook in the last few weeks.
Oh, man.
Where to start?
Just easy question to answer. To give a brief recap, the quote unquote Facebook papers are a a series of documents, literally hundreds and hundreds of documents that are being provided to Congress and the SEC by Facebook whistleblower Frances Hogan, who was a member of the Civic Integrity team that has since kind of disbanded and dispersed across the company. This was the team dealing with things like election misinformation, among many other things. And it often overlapped with other internal orgs like the Dangerous Groups Org that dealt with the Capitol rioters or organizations like QAnon. So there's a lot of documents related to that. In my day job, when I'm not covering these leaks, I cover a lot of ads related stuff. You know, Facebook is a company that serves a lot of ads, and there isn't a lot of that to be found here, but there is a lot to do with kind of the company's impact on society, for better or worse. Mm-hmm. So we've been learning a lot about that over the past few weeks.
So everything that I've been reading from your coverage is like Facebook knows internally that it's bad and it's trying to like not convey that publicly. So is there anything that we didn't know about Facebook that we've learned, or anything that surprised you in your reading of these docs?
The hundreds and hundreds of documents. I think we just dropped about 75 more today. There's about 800 and counting, I think. And I'm going through those with our senior reporter, Del Cameron, who's been a really huge asset in all of this. Something that he pointed out to me that might not be clear to a lot of folks on the outside is how hard people inside the company, particularly on this now disbanded team, were really acting as a force for good. You know, you would read things where people are like, hey, Mark Zuckerberg, the company CEO, is going to make this announcement tomorrow. And obviously, the changes he's announcing, like, don't go as far as we want. And they're not exactly what we want to hear. But, you know, the choices he's making, like, I'm thinking in particular about this document I was reading yesterday that mentioned some of the changes made to the company's like policies around political ads in the wake of the 2020 election. And internally, the guy who was heading this civic integrity team, who's no longer there, mentioned to his team, he's like, folks, Mark's going to make this announcement tomorrow. And I know it's not what we want to hear, but he made these hard decisions based on like conversations with stakeholders. And you see this come up again and again, where the team's just like, we want to do more, we want to go farther, but we keep being stymied by choices made by the company's highest ranking execs. And something that Del and I are doing in particular that nobody else has really done so far is we're making a lot of these documents public, because originally they were released to kind of this consortium of a few dozen media outlets. Gizmodo got access a little bit later on. And something that we all agreed was kind of messed up was that only journalists were really seeing these internal conversations, like this internal reckoning between the company's top brass and its employees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
It felt gatekeepy as hell, and particularly because a lot of these documents deal with like internal experiments that are either done on people's news feeds or with particular users. And obviously, you know, internal research is always going to be incomplete. They usually have like a few dozen users at most. But we all agreed that both like external researchers and like just folks that are rightfully critiquing the company deserve access to these docs. So we're actively working with a few academic institutions and outlets overseas, like in India and the Middle East, to give them the access that they also deserve.
Yeah, that's great. I think one of the things that Facebook users have always said is that the algorithm works in mysterious ways. Like, the algorithm. Like,
I mean.
Yeah.
I mean.
And it does. It's true, right? Yeah.
The algorithm and God.
Is there anything that we learned?
The algorithm and God. Yo, you see.
Oh, God.
I mean, what you realize looking over again these hundreds and hundreds of documents is that there isn't like any one algorithm, like what determines what you see in your stories versus what you see in your newsfeed versus what friends get recommended to you. all are kind of guided by these unseen hands. Yeah. And there isn't one algorithm to blame. They all kind of work together to make the newsfeed experience so miserable.
Ugh,
yeah.
That makes it more difficult.
Yeah, exactly. So like internally, like you look at these documents and you see them like, oh, we're going to make this one tweak to this tiny algorithm. And then you see this massive cascading effect. And the company's just like, how did this happen? And it's because this is such a massive company with so many moving parts.
So I think, you know, as you were saying, there's a lot of people inside Facebook that really want to make changes. Mm-hmm. Or if they've worked up there in the past, they've tried really hard to make changes. But they all seem to be stymied by Mark Zuckerberg, right?
And Sheryl Sandberg and Bose and whoever else is at the top.
Right. So does it concern you or make you question the transition to Meta and now, and okay.
I refuse to acknowledge that name. I don't know who you're
It's talking. Hard. It's hard.
It is. Yeah. The company formerly known as Facebook is changing its name and creating this, you know, entirely new virtual platform where they can escape seemingly the effects of their real world decisions and just like, we're moving on. Some of us are going to the metaverse. Some of us are going to space. I don't like, we're just all trying to flee.
it's a very like tech billionaire solution to the problem that they all caused. What I'm particularly worried about, RE, the metaverse, is, you know, in my day job, again, I cover like ads and privacy, that sort of thing. We're only like regulators are only just getting a handle on what this company is doing in our phones and in our laptops. VR is like uncharted territory. Nobody knows how to broach that yet. So the fact that we're seeing Mark Zuckerberg again just go full speed, like, you know, the company's longstanding motto is move fast and break things. He's literally just moving fast and breaking things, but in an entirely new unregulated medium. So
cool.
Good time.
Nothing to see here, everyone.
Which is a real bummer because if virtual reality did have like a real world, you know, if it does have some benefits where it can come, we can adopt it and use it, it's right. going to get overlooked because of how quickly it's moving. It's like all these great advancements that we've made could be completely knocked out because, we started genocide in another country.
Well, yeah. And speaking of genocide, something that you see.
Well, we're doing
I'm
it.
I'm sorry I brought that. I wasn't planning on it, but
you can't, we have moved on to genocide.
You can't talk okay. about Facebook without mentioning the oopsie doopsie we caused a genocide overseas that one time. Part of the reason that Dell and I are working so hard to get these documents to folks overseas is because a lot of these documents are dealing with the company's impact in the global south. You read these documents mentioning regions like Indonesia or India or Brazil, and the effects there are so much worse because a lot of the company's moderation efforts are focused on the US because it's a US company.
Right.
And then you read, like, particularly for folks that speak several languages, what I'm reading in a lot of these documents is that like the company barely had moderation in languages like Arabic, for example, or the moderation that they did have was very kind of minute because, you know, this is a massive company. There's massive scale. They can't have folks checking every single post every single time. They rely on algorithms and those algorithms aren't very good at reading Farsi the same way they're reading English.
Right.
Great.
Because of the people that are developing the algorithms and programming them.
And
I think
guys.
It's also, yeah. And it's also good to see what is going on with Facebook in this respect, because it's not just Facebook that this algorithm problem will affect. I mean, Google has a similar issue with its products. Caitlin would have to speak a little more to Apple and what's going on there. Amazon has its own algorithms. Mm-hmm. Like the internet is running on these things. And that's why it's important for us to grasp somehow wrap our brains around what it is that is actually affecting our day-to-day, because just because somebody isn't quote-unquote extremely online doesn't mean that their real world will not be affected by what is happening there. We're way past that point, guys. It's 2021. Yeah. We're all online. It doesn't matter if you're extremely or even a little bit. We are all online. It is all affecting us.
And for a lot of people, Facebook is online for them, especially in other countries. Like Facebook is the internet. Okay, now we know what's going on. we sort of grasp all of the very deep problems that are happening on Facebook and within Facebook. Is there anything that people can actually do with this information? I mean, like, is your only option to quit using all Facebook products, which includes Instagram, WhatsApp, which is just not an option to leave for a lot of people, which you've covered before. What can we do about this?
Right. So like I've covered WhatsApp because I have a lot of family living in the Middle East and I use WhatsApp primarily to communicate with them. So a lot of my coverage has just been like, folks can't leave these platforms. You know, right now, the same way we see with a lot of Facebook scandals, there's that whole kind of push to, oh, just leave the platform. Like it's so easy. Like realistically, a lot of people can't. So I think like really the only thing folks can do is like, I'm not going to say read our coverage, but
read our coverage,
read our coverage and just read, you know, Facebook will often kind of come out with these PR friendly statements or these public facing kind of documents that sound very polished and they're designed to make people feel safe. You know, I've covered this a lot in regards to the company's privacy policies. They're often like they're not untrue. But they're like deliberately worded to kind of lull people into a false sense of security. So what I'm hoping, at the very least, is that these documents give people a reason to maybe take Facebook's comms with like a grain of salt, because this company isn't going anywhere. The fact that it just renamed itself is kind of a testament to that. And it's only going to become a bigger and bigger part of our lives.
Yep.
Well, I guess maybe the one thing people can do is think twice before buying a virtual reality headset and jacking into the Facebook's version.
I have a Facebook portal that the company gave to me at a press event a while back. I have never turned that thing on. It's just like
mine is on right here in the background.
Flo is using hers as we speak.
my daughter loves it. She loves it because this is how she calls that's how she calls her grandparents and her godmother. And they're all accessible through either Facebook, Instagram, or WhatsApp. And it's very easy for the grandparents to use it. And the technology they put in this camera to follow my toddler around the house while she plays, she's literally hanging out with her family from the other side. And I see this and I think to myself, this is why we need to just talk about this more because this isn't going anywhere.
Yeah. And that's completely valid. You know, I see a lot of folks like guilting other folks, like, how dare you use a Facebook product? Like, how dare you message your family on WhatsApp? But like, if that's the only way you can keep in contact with your grandparents, more power to you. Like, that's completely
It makes my family members so happy when they get to spend that time with her through the Facebook portal. And like, why would I take that away from them?
Right. Like, for all of the ills that this company's brought on society, they also bring a lot of good.
Connected a lot of people. I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you and me, Shosh, we have, like, family overseas that we're staying in contact with because of their products.
Right. So, you know, but it's neither black nor white. There's a lot of gray. But, read our coverage, because I like to think that we're being pretty fair about balanced about it.
Yeah. I think just staying informed is really all we can do. And being skeptical of all companies and all products.
Always be skeptical.
In the end, we are the products they're after, right? Like, so we just have to have more awareness. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you so much for joining us, Shosh. It was so nice to talk to you and see your face on this tiny screen.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. Always happy to help and talk massive company scandals.
We love it.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Now that we've talked about the metaverse and genocide, all in the span of 20 minutes.
Listen, I realize it's not super professional for me to laugh, but I think it's just the word. I was using meta in such a fun way, and like Mark just took that away from me. So I need a laugh to deal with it.
You know, we have to laugh about these things. Mm-hmm. But what we really want to do is have some fun. And that's why we're going to fangirl a little bit about our Peloton bikes, which is maybe the most basic sentence I've said today, at least.
I know. I know. I was thinking about that, too. We're part of a little cult. It's not a bad cult. Okay. There's no MLM here. We're not selling anything. We don't get any kickbacks. This is purely because Caitlin and I, we need to be motivated, and the best motivation is somebody who has more energy and more ability to bring in positivity than I do to kind of give me some of that so that I can move my body and not die young.
That's all we're asking. We don't ask too much.
Exactly.
I just need somebody to motivate me. So look, okay, we both have the Peloton Bike Plus. Right, Flo, you have the Bike Plus as well.
Yeah, the swivel screen.
The swivel screen. I reviewed it, and then I just, you know, Peloton was like, you know, you're done reviewing it. We're going to come get it. And I was like, let me just buy that from you real quick. So I bought it. I just loved it so much. Like, I was running a lot, and then pandemic happened, and I just was like so tired and like not able to motivate myself, and taking these spinning classes, I know it sounds ridiculous, but like it really is a bright spot in the day because the instructors are so great. And I know people are now really into Cody Rigsby because he's on Dancing with the Stars, and he is one of the best ones. Like, he's so funny, and he's like super motivational.
He is.
But I hope that people will get into the other instructors as well, because they're all different and they're all, you know, motivational in their own way. Flo, what do you love about it?
I think the thing for me was postpartum life was really hard going into the pandemic, because I used to go to the gym and I used to hike, but the pandemic happened. And then before we were all vaccinated, it was kind of scary to like go to my usual hiking spots. There was no way in heck I was going to go to the gym. Yes, I said heck. There's no way in hell I was going to go to the gym.
I still want to go to the gym. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, I used to like to go to the gym because it would get me out of the house. And, you know, when I was freelancing, I was just always in my room. Still am always in my room. But now I don't have time to leave. Exactly. I can't leave the way I used to. I have a kid now, and I got to help out. But I can steal 25 minutes, half an hour every other day to kind of get my heart moving when I don't have time to, you know, do a full outdoor routine. And so the Peloton has been really helpful with that. It's really helped me sleep better because I'm actually exercising. It's helpful because if the kid just, you know, she just wants to sit and play with her toys, can just, as long as somebody's, I'm still a little concerned on the bike. And so you, Caitlin, just recently did the review on the treadmill, which they had recalled the other one before it, because a child was killed from a very...
And there were injuries. A child died. That treadmill, the really expensive one, is designed differently than a conventional treadmill. Mm-hmm. So it has these like slats that sort of move. It's higher off the ground, and there's no like bar underneath. So if you like slide off, and you can slide under. So that's bad. So they recalled it. They didn't handle that well at all. And now they've introduced some new safety features, but there's not really similar safety features for the bike.
Yeah.
So
the bike
you're concerned.
I want to explain that the bike is, it is slim enough where it fits in just like the perfect little spot of the living room. And I think one of the appeals of the Peloton was that they designed it to just kind of like fit into the background. It's not this garish piece of exercise equipment. All right, I get it. They deliver it to your house. It's a whole experience. And then you have all these classes that go with it. It all works. You clip in with your shoes and you're going off. But while you're going on the bike, the front wheel, the disc that propels the whole bike to do its thing, it's fully exposed. So if my kid, who is very, very curious when I'm on the bike, comes over to touch the spinning wheel, which she does when I'm not on it, by the way, I get very scared that that's, I don't know, it's going to cut her. She's going to get, something's going to happen to her. It's scary for me. So there always has to be somebody watching her, or she has to be out of the house before I can get on the bike. And it's frustrating because I love the Peloton experience. And I now, and I think, Caitlin, it's the same for you. Like, we have a lot of friends and people around us who have bought a bike over the pandemic and are now like, we're all part of this little club. We're like, what class did you take this weekend? I should take that Britney Spears 40-minute ride.
It's great.
It is. And I like that aspect. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I love that aspect of it because that's what I miss about going to a yoga studio or going to a gym with other folks. But I think about how Peloton isn't maybe considering, you know, those of us in cramped houses where we have this equipment.
I do think they should, you know, they have a passcode feature for the tread. You have to enter a passcode before you can even, it won't move at all until you've entered it. They should definitely do something similar for the bike. That way, like, you know, Mona wouldn't be able to accidentally, like, start spinning the wheel. Like, it just wouldn't move without a passcode. And, yeah, like, a little, like, slipcover situation to hide the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. Safety, and it's not even just Peloton. It's, like, every company who makes home gym equipment, this is something that we have to think about because whether it's kids or pets or, you know, someone in your household who, like, just shouldn't be around this stuff, It can be dangerous. Like, they're big pieces of machinery. Mm-hmm. So I think you're right. More safety features.
Yes. But
otherwise, we love it.
Yeah. But otherwise, we love it. Because I think those safety features would at least be a good faith move on Peloton to be like, we recognize that we maybe made this for, like, a certain type of user. I would appreciate that. But if you're wondering why everybody is tweeting and talking about their Peloton and showing off with their stats, it's because, you know, and there's a reason that NordicTrack and all these other brands have been kind of following it. Now I see, like, Michael Phelps is shilling the NordicTrack one. And I'm like, Michael, you don't use that tip, please. I know you. You go to a lap pool that's in your backyard every day. I know you have money for this, okay? You're not using a bike. Don't. Mm-mm. No.
No. Michael, come on.
Yeah. He's not part of the Peloton lifestyle, which now includes, so Cody was on Dancing with the Stars. He's doing okay. Mm-hmm. He's doing okay.
I haven't been watching.
I tuned in last week. He's...
Yeah, he had COVID, right? And so he was...
His partner had COVID. She tested positive for it, so they couldn't dance. And they went based on his, like, test... on their test dance, which is never fair because you never give 110% when you're doing, like, the rehearsal, you know?
Right. That's right. What I always say.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But it's okay.
Well, we wish him the best of luck.
Yes. I don't even know if he's still on. Delta Airlines, by the way, if you're a frequent flyer, you'll have Peloton classes soon. We wrote about that this week. They're going to do meditation and, like, guided thinking.
Some stretching. I'm going to
assume some stretches.
Guided thinking.
Guided thinking.
We all need some guided thinking on the plane. Yes. That's what we all want. Is
especially when that person is just shoving their elbow, like, into you. And you're like, is this class going to help me
take
with that?
Take deep breaths. Mm-hmm. Yeah, take deep breaths. That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
Well, Flo, it's time for us to wrap it up. This has been a pleasure. Thank you, as always, for being on this journey with me.
Yes, and we didn't have to actually dive into the metaverse to do it.
We didn't. Look at us. We just did it, like, on a video call. I'm really proud of us. I can't believe we managed.
I know.
Before we go, we have to thank our producer, Michaela Heck, who makes this all possible, and our sound engineer, Ryan Allen, and our art designer, Vicky Lita.
We also want to remind you that if you've got questions, comments, concerns, you can email us at gadgets@gizmodo.com. You can also tweet us at Gizmodo. And you can find us on our social media profiles. I'm all that flow. Caitlin is Caitlin _ McGarry.
Yes, the underscore. Still a vendetta.
It's your cross to bear. Sorry.
Please like and subscribe on your podcast app of choice. And if you are using Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review. It helps us so much. Until next week.
Bye-bye, everybody.